And so this clinical trial is being monitored. And so if anybody dies as a result, of course, then it's considered to be the COVID flu. But there, in actual fact, there are those that are dying from this vaccine. And they are finding, like Johnson & Johnson's yes. vaccine in America has been canned. And the Red Cross won't accept blood donations from anybody who's had this particular vaccine. And, of course, this whole thing is rippling. There's a class action suit with thousands of lawyers worldwide are now talking about taking it as another Nuremberg trial because of the absolutely outrageous, outrageous claims that they're making. I mean, even I've just had to reply to one recently that I just couldn't leave. When the Minister for Seniors, the Honourable Dr. Ashia Verrilli, she made some outrageous claims in the seniors newsletter. And of course, there are others that have been making outrageous claims. So we've now got a lawyer, Sue Gray, with her financial yes. supporters are actually, have taken them and put the government on notice.
Hi, this is Bruce Lipton, and you're listening to Planet FM.
Kia ora, greetings, and welcome to Planet FM 104.6. I'm Tim Lynch, and I trust that you are doing well. I invite you to stay with me over the next hour as we discuss and find ways to take care of our unique and magnificent green planet Earth. On the phone from Tauranga in the Bay of Plenty, I have Janice Price, who is a very proficient natural health professional and has over 50 clinical years of experience, as well as been a publisher of Healthy Options and the Rainbow News. Because I interviewed her 2 years ago in March 2019, which was thoroughly enjoyable because I learned so much about natural healthy solutions and the challenges to remain healthy in an increasingly chemically toxic and electromagnetic world. Plus, I learned more about the vested interests of Big Pharma, you know, the drug corporations that are asserting increasing pressure on our governments and health departments at even greater levels these days. So I wish to say kia ora and thank you for your valuable time, Janice.
Kia ora, Tim. It's a pleasure. There are so many issues to talk about.
There certainly is, and I'm so pleased to get to interview you again on these important matters. So, Janice, with COVID increasingly dominating both the media and our lives for the last 13 months, what are your thoughts to taking care of our general health going forward and making sure that we as a New Zealand population remain in high spirits?
Well, the first thing was the government announcement of stay at home if you're unwell. Now, that caused a lot of confusion amongst the general public because it was like they'd been told for decades, if you're unwell, quick, get to the doctor. And now suddenly they're at home and they go, I'm feeling unwell. Perhaps I should go and check that I don't have COVID or a flu. But then if I've just got the flu, what do? So what's happening now was a whole input, a whole interest in, A, growing your own vegetables, because people think, oh, well, if I eat a bit healthier, then maybe I won't get sick. The second was, oh, my gosh, what do I do? So the natural health and herbal industry took off because people were ringing the health food store, ringing their practitioner, sending emails and going, what do? I've got the flu and my family's not feeling well. How do I handle this? So the initial of prevention emerged out of this stay at home.
Yes.
So what do people do? Well, they think, oh, hang on, there's been a lot in the news about vitamin C. Oh, I'll take some vitamin C.
You bet.
It's always a lot deeper than that when you're looking at prevention, like our ancestors took for granted. That's what you did. So if you're still in the stay-at-home mode and you realise that you don't have the medical expense of going to your doctor and you can look after yourself, well, then you've got to do some basics. And, of course, this is early winter, so that vitamin C is important. But also with the change of weather, you've got to have some basics in your kitchen cupboard at home. It's like, you know, your initials, you know, your honey and lemon and apple cider vinegar. But at this time of the year, you need more oils. You need more fish oils, omega-3 oils, olive oil, flax oil, all of the oils, because you'll notice at this time of the year that people are wandering around with very dry lips, and that's a lack of oil. And if you lack oil in your throat and your body, you get stiff bones, but you are more susceptible to colds and flus.
Well, thank you for that. Yes, because in your area now, they have hemp oil as well, don't they?
Yes, yes, but it's not something to stay on all of the time.
Okay.
Because hemp oil is a calmative, so it's ideal if you want to calm somebody down, but it does have a certain amount of relaxant in it, so that you're always better with the vitamin A oils, which of course is the fish oils. And for those that ever remember their parents giving them a little bit of cod liver oil or halibut liver oil.
Yes.
Once a week, that was the preventative.
That was an interesting thing, because our whole generation were introduced to that, and that's essentially fallen away. It's not even in the vernacular these days.
Well, it was a standard. I was nursing, when you entered hospital, that was the first thing you were given. And, of course, it was always a part of life. It was once a week, out came, and I brought my family up, and we just didn't get the colds and flus that others did. Another way around it is to make some garlic oil. And that's easy enough to make, because garlic oil, it soothes the mouth and kills bacteria on its way into the throat.
Yes, well, I mean, in my day, we wasn't much in the way of garlic, but, I mean, I'm surrounded by garlic now and I really love it, even if I do seem to keep people away from me as a result. But, yes, garlic is a very important one, and I thank you. What I can't understand, and I have difficulty understanding, a lot of the people, shall we say, in socioeconomic standards, that they're struggling through life and they haven't a lot of money coming into their household, garlic is a very important thing to have in your kitchen 24/7, all the time, as a backup. And my concerns is that our government, at the moment, the health officials who are talking on TV, from the Prime Minister down, they're not mentioning it to us. Go out and have your lemon juice and have garlic and get vitamin D. And I myself, I finish with a cold shower all the time just to boost up my immune system. But they're not telling us to go out to your garden or go organic. They just want us to carry on eating factory food and industrial food, and with no life force in it. There's a big challenge here, isn't there?
There is. I mean, in the past, there was always a lemon tree in the garden. There was always a grapefruit tree in the garden, until the medical profession decided that grapefruit was interfering with medication. And so the good old lemon tree went as well. But if you've got a lemon tree in your garden, then you've got all means of being able to take care of yourself as a preventative action, because lemons are such a great neutralizer of acidity in the body. I mean, there are other things you can put in the kitchen cupboard that help as well, like cinnamon and nutmeg. They're great immune supporters. And, I mean, it's so cheap to buy them at the grocery stores and have that. And you only need a pinch in your drink or on your food each day. And, I mean, it's simple. You've got to then have a look at more serious things as preventatives, like get some eucalyptus oil. And if you're worried about the family going out and dealing with the pollution out there, you just need to rub a little bit of eucalyptus oil on your chest. Great preventative for the environment.
Thank you for that, because I have also noticed a lot of young mums these days are taking their children out without a hat or a cap on their head, and it's quite cool. And I can't understand it, because my mother and my grandmother, they always made sure that any baby, you know, from 12 months on, or even if it's younger than that, always had a cap to keep their warmth in.
It's even further than that. The prams these days face outward into the environment. So children in these prams and pushchairs are at the exhaust pipe level of cars. So the fumes, they're getting the fumes more so than the adults. So it's more than just the woolly hat now. They are not getting the wool undergarments, which preserve the heat and are great preventative. In hospital, we used to wrap people up in wool when they came in from shock or trauma or severe flus and colds and so on. The idea was, you know, hot shower, wrap yourself up in wool and sweat it out. But for children, they need the wool underlay and they need the wool hats over their ears because they're so prone to the environmental weather changes. And they have a difficulty retaining their body heat. But if you're going to buy a pram or pushchair, buy the ones that face you, because the trauma of children, small toddlers suddenly facing all of this environment, and where's mum? Mum's not in view.
Yes, that's correct.
And so how do you know if your child's choking or if there's a lot of noise going on and you can't hear? You should be able to see your child, and your child should be able to see you. And you should have that child wrapped up in natural fibre.
Yeah, natural fibre again, yes. I used to always have cotton nappies and cotton sheets, brush cotton in winter. The other thing too, I think New Zealanders have to really realise, is that once upon a time our hospitals scattered across New Zealand used to have their own gardens so that they could go out and cut their fresh silver beet in winter and bring it into the hospital where it wouldn't be cooked and boiled to death, where we could actually not only eat good, fresh veggies with life force that might have only been gathered half an hour beforehand, but also there was the water underneath, or the juice, as I call it, that we could drink as well. Can you tell us a little bit about the hospitals of yesteryear that were in New Zealand?
Yes, of course, because I trained in the 1960s. I was there present and saw the changes that took place in the hospital system. The hospitals used to trade off with local farmers or local growers, and they always delivered the fresh vegetables and fruits and so on each day. There were things like patients were always put outside in the sun for a good half hour to an hour every day so they can get their vitamin D. There was none of this covering them up so they don't get sunshine, fresh air. We used to make poultices, herbal tonic. The doctor was not allowed in unless it was something like really serious, because the sisters in those days were in charge. And of course they made up some pretty potent brews. If you went into hospital, you were put in nil by mouth, liquids only, given an enema, checked your nutritional level. And after 3 days, you're in quiet. You weren't allowed visitors. You were allowed your husband or your wife, but no visitors. So you rested and slept. And inevitably, a good 80% of the patients went home.
Yes, yes.
Because their diet is too stressful, their lives are too stressful, and so any frailty in the body always shows up when stress factors are there. So then those that had more chronic conditions were monitored, and then the doctors were allowed in.
Oh, that's very interesting. Yes, well, this is where we're at today. I know I interviewed a nurse many years ago, and she said that she had a patient that was in a retirement home getting more ill by the day, and she was doing about 13 different types of pharmaceutical drugs, and so she gave up. She said, I'm finished. Take me off the drugs. I want to die in peace. I'm out of here. And so they took her off all the drugs, and strange as it may be, within 3 weeks, she packed her own bags and walked out of that retirement home because she realised it was the drugs that were actually making her unwell.
My nursing sisters and matron used to say, you'll rue the day that you bring all these drugs into the health system. And of course, I used to witness some terrible arguments between the new doctors and their new drug training. I mean, there are basic drugs and medication that are very, very helpful. But when I see patients come in with their containers of taking 13 different types of medication, my usual comment is it working for you? And so I'll give them a basic kit, you know, green tea, apple cider vinegar and a lemon. And whenever I go and talk on the rise or wherever I'm talking, anywhere in any group situation where people are going, I'm worried about my health, I'll say, right, here's your first aid kit. Get back to basics. Don't complicate your digestive system. Come back to simpler eating and living and take that stress out of your system.
Yeah, thank you. Because the stress is definitely growing. And with regard to the mental COVID assault, via the New Zealand media and overseas media, we are also noticing that the government is increasingly using the media to further its own aims, Janice, and that big pharma, and in particular Bill Gates, who has zero health training, and who has taken it as his task to inject every human being on Earth a concoction into our sovereign bodies. Would you like to make any comment on that?
I had 28 years publishing international health magazines, and I can spot a corporate maneuver any time, and this is a classic one. This is actually about trials, clinical trials. They have tried these last few vaccines in animal laboratories, and of course these days we protest about animal testing because of the cruelty levels. So they have been unable to develop, well, it's a few years ago now, the SARS one. They can't find the protein in it to develop a vaccine, because a traditional vaccine was using the initial bacteria or the initial protein, the bacteria, and convert it into a vaccine. But they can't find it this time.
That's
so
right.
This time they've decided to do clinical trials in the human race. And this is why some countries are getting certain vaccines, other countries are getting another type of variant. And so this clinical trial is being monitored. And so if anybody dies as a result, of course, then it's considered to be the COVID flu. But there, in actual fact, there are those that are dying from this vaccine. And they are finding, like Johnson & Johnson's
yes.
vaccine in America has been canned. And the Red Cross won't accept blood donations from anybody who's had this particular vaccine.
Oh, I didn't know that.
And, of course, this whole thing is rippling. There's a class action suit with thousands of lawyers worldwide are now talking about taking it as another Nuremberg trial because of the absolutely outrageous claims that they're making. I mean, even I've just had to reply to one recently that I just couldn't leave when the Minister for Seniors, the Honourable Dr. Ashia Varelli, she made some outrageous claims in the seniors' newsletter. And, of course, there are others that have been making outrageous claims. So we've now got a lawyer, Sue Gray, with her financial
yes.
supporters, have taken the, and put the government on notice for their outrageous claims.
Well, this is brewing at this moment, is it not?
Oh, it's snowballing. It's snowballing because people are going, what on earth's going on? So it's a flu, so we need to wash hands, which is fantastic. It was one of the best things the government did was to tell people to wash hands. It's what Plunkett's been telling people for years. Wash hands. Wash hands when you go out, wash hands when you come back, wash hands before you eat. That is the only way to transfer bacteria. Because this, they're claiming that this flu is a virus. It's actually not a virus. And that's going to shock people.
Yes.
Because if you do your research, a virus, once it's exposed to the air, in a good 60 seconds to 2 minutes, it dissipates. It's gone. It's the air that dissipates it really quickly. On the other hand, bacteria is contagious. So in their conversion of convincing people to take this, they're calling it a virus. But there's just so many anomalies in this whole vaccine. But please, as a naturopath, don't have it. I mean, it doesn't bother me that they come and growl at me at my age for making that statement. I don't care. I've been threatened by all sorts of people over the decades for pushing natural health remedies. This is a change of your DNA. It is genetically engineered, GMO impact, and it will go in and change your DNA structure. And I don't know what remedies will be able to fix that if you come down with any altered state of your DNA.
Thank you for that, Janice. Yes, because the naturopaths just know the natural way, and they can help us bring our body into alignment, our physical, our mental, our emotional, and our spiritual body, so that we are totally, as I said, in alignment. Did you want to just mention quickly about that?
The letter that I sent to the minister, or just the bacteria? Well, your eucalyptus, God provides us with the garden of every remedy that you need. So if you're eating the natural foods that are growing, And then you can turn to the natural antibiotic, you know, garlic, olive leaf. Olive leaf is fantastic. If you're worried about the flu, then go and get yourself some olive leaf and have it on the stand. Sweet as bitters, is, and it tastes like it sounds. It's a great, you know, the old people used to use whiskey for a cold or flu. In fact, all the longevity people that come into my clinic over the last 50 years all take whiskey if they feel a cold coming on. So they warm milk, put whiskey in, and take what they call a toddy. And it kills bacteria. In fact, there's a book that came out about called The Hot Zones, and it was the professor, scientist, who dealt with Ebola. And he's written a book about it because he actually contracted Ebola when he was helping the local village. And what he did was he went to his tent with two bottles of whiskey and cured himself.
Two bottles
of whiskey. It's in his book.
He's a tough guy.
The scientist, the vaccine, Ebola scientist that works with the vaccines.
Yes. Well, can I move to the fact that the New Zealand government has made a statement. Well, it did make it a few days ago. I haven't really picked up on the no jab, no job. Is this going too far? Because I know that the airline pilots in New Zealand are pushing back, and I know that even the police are very interested from the standpoint too, because they're in frontline situations. Have you got an opinion, or would you like to share on that?
Well, vaccines can never be compulsory by law. It has been tried and tested in international courts. It's a medicine, and each individual has the right to decide which medicine they want. And believe me, if you accept this clinical trial vaccine, you'll have no health insurance cover.
Thank you.
No ACC cover, because it's a clinical trial. If you have a reaction to a properly double-blind tested registered medicine, then you have ACC cover. But you don't in this sort of circumstances, so you're left out on a limb. So all of the various structures that are covering this area, they're all backing off. And the general public are now left with an over-enthusiastic Prime Minister who's starting to panic because people are starting to reject her push. And to even suggest that she might lose your job has certainly got the unions up in arms.
Yes, it is. It's interesting how the push is going on. Because, Janice, I am increasingly coming across New Zealanders who are going to refuse this injection. I can't believe it. Māori in particular, that they won't take it. Of course, one reason is that they see that, as you said, it's not a vaccine. And also that it's been super rushed, that the news is really pushing it. And just yesterday, after coming back from a trip where I saw you, I was in Warkworth on the main road coming into Warkworth, and a number of my friends had big posters out on the side of the highway and saying to people all the things to check up on prior to ever getting a jab. And there's some very, very powerful little statements. And I know they did this about a month ago and they got a lot of jeers. But every week they go out and the cars coming down into Warkworth from the north, they're getting more beep, beep, beeps and thumbs up, because people now, in just this last 3 weeks or so, they're starting to get more savvy. They're getting the information, and information's moving around, be it Facebook, be it Twitter, be it Telegram and Instagram. Rumble.com, BitChute.com, Brightian.com, Forbidden Knowledge TV.net, be it so many other mediums now that even the big tech are having difficulty in locking it down and closing us off and censoring it, which means that we're more mobile. It's like the people are now swarming. We're like bees over a huge area, buzzing, really getting quick and moving fast. They've got novel approaches to how they are communicating this very important information. And essentially, I think for the first time just recently, we're getting off the back foot onto the front foot and taking and questioning the government deeply and strongly in relationship to what's going on with this COVID game, and also the fact that they want us all to be inoculated or injected.
Vaccines have always been a very hot subject. But when I did my usual research and found out that the response minister for COVID, his only qualifications was a Bachelor of Arts and Criminology. And I'm going, why on earth would they put a person with no science or medical background but had a BA in criminology? It's just sort of summarizes the whole campaign. But look, bear in mind, you do have to look after yourself with the flu. And there are different variants around now. And the majority of them, yes, they do come out of China. It's the cyclic. Last time I talked to the previous Minister of Health, I asked them how they knew what vaccine to produce. And they said they make a scientific guess. And they make these vaccines 2 to 3 years before the actual flu arrives. So this time around, they're using humans, as I said before, as clinical trials on an untested vaccine. And the government are pushing it so dramatically that everybody's going, hang on a minute, it's not about, why are they still pushing it? But the doors are open, the gates are open for travel, vaccine's not here, and yet everybody's recovered. It was a flu variant. It was a nasty one. And it was hitting people in the chest. So normally when people get a flu, they take basic cold and flu remedies. But this particular variant, and of course it's another story where it's come from, but the consequence is it's gone deep into people's lungs. So it's like a tuberculosis type of flu. And so what was happening was then those that were sick were going in the hospital and they were treating it as a flu, and not as a type of tuberculosis, type of virus. So if you get a cold or flu now this winter, go and get a herbal lung elixir. Rub eucalyptus on your chest and look at all things as chest colds. That's why you got to wear wool as well. But the extreme manner in which this has been handling has just turned people off. There's no logic in it. I mean, this is what I replied to the senior minister.
I think this was such a good letter. Do you mind reading it to our audience? Because it conveys a real deep insight as to how you are and what the government has not addressed. So could you do that, please?
I was just appalled at what the minister, and of course in her reply to me, they immediately sent it off to the Honourable Chris Hipkins. He's the COVID response minister. And it turns out that he approved of the article, so it just shows you the extreme level they're going to. So when I wrote to her, I just thanked her for editorial. I mean, you must always be polite in life.
Correct.
And I just said I was pondering over her notes, which was about the last vaccine. And I said, the people you've addressed have been through depression, pandemics, several epidemics, global recessions, petrol hikes, personal losses, fought for the right to freedom of speech, fought in wars, lost families in wars, experienced high interest rates, different government policies, GE threats, rise in junk food, rise in technology, and were brought up on homegrown foods, lived on tight budgets, recycled items, and raised families. To address these people in the manner of vaccine to save their lives is inappropriate. In researching this vaccine, our generation would never take or use untested goods without guarantees. You have, in your article, underestimated our practical common sense. Bearing in mind, she's talking to senior citizens.
Yes.
Why on earth would you want such a vaccine when there isn't any pandemic, except the one the media are pushing, nor has this vaccine had any standard double-blind vaccine trials?
Yes.
Besides, I spent 28 years in the media as an international magazine publisher. I can spot a corporation bender a mile off.
Can you repeat that one? I spent 28 years.
Yes.
Years
in the media as an international magazine publisher, and I can spot a corporation bender a mile off. In all cases of flu, New Zealanders in our practical ways use sanitizers. Wash hands. After all, it kills the most bacteria, and the latest research shows antiseptic nasal sprays work well to kill this flu. Besides, as an ex-staff nurse, we know masks don't last long as a deterrent to bacteria, and pushing an untrialed vaccine is risky. This flu the government is pushing is not a virus-based one. For those who haven't done any research, viruses don't last any more than 60 seconds or more outside the human body. So viruses are not contagious. Bacteria are. Common flu variants are. In the meantime, we are watching families lose their businesses, their jobs, their mortgages, their homes. Some have had to watch families die from a distance, couldn't come home, attend funerals, while politicians just spent more and more money on a falsehood pandemic. And your government says it saves lives. No income, no homes, suicide increases, separate from loved one. Is that the price of pushing a flu variant, genetically engineered vaccine? Especially when vaccines are not compulsory by law. We spent decades fighting to keep GE food crops out of the country, and the government wants to inject this GMO vaccine into our bodies. Sure, we need to take flu epidemics seriously. The stay-at-home wash hands was sensible. Like all flus, we are raised to respect. The extreme media focus over the subject is now having repercussions. There are legal actions taking place right now against the government and several ministers for allowing such falsehoods and making advertising claims which contravene our Medicines Act and advertising laws. Even you, talking to the minister, even you made false claims in your article, and I put the link to Gray's and the lawyer and people on YouTube.
Yes.
And I finished by saying, may I suggest in your next newsletter you address us in a more even, balanced manner, and as after all, we know all about life and death. There's one thing I'd like to add. Over the years, I've always questioned the government's handling of advertising of vaccines, because no one, no doctors, no one can make health claims. But the government and the Ministry of Health have been blatantly for years making outrageous claims about what their vaccines can do without the proof, of course, which is another area
yes.
that one can talk about, because they have their own science proof, but then practical proof. So for 7 years, every time they put out an outrageous vaccine campaign, I would lodge a complaint with the Advertising Standard Board, and they had to withdraw all their campaigns. But in the seventh year, the Advertising Standard Board said to me, if I wish to make another complaint, I would have to pay $7,000 up front in order for them to proceed because of the costs I've incurred.
Yes, well, this is how they're doing it everywhere. The government is asking for submissions on all sorts of things, from recycling to what's happening with fluoridation of water, and now the chlorination of water, and so many different things. They're putting pressure on us all the time, we the people, and they are our servants. They're wanting to be involved in bringing new sciences and new technologies, and they're leaving it up to the people to push back. We, the people, we're short of time, we have got less money, haven't got the time to go to meetings, write submissions, get people to sign petitions.
Well, they've got a lot smarter, there's no doubt, because in recent submissions, you have to be fully qualified in your field, and you have to have a person of authority sign your submission before they will even take it. But one can make a complaint to the Advertising Standard Board. You can just go online and Advertising Standards online and make a complaint. Whenever you hear them make an outrageous claim about that this vaccine can heal you or cure you or improve, and they've got efficacy and safety, which they don't have. So feel free.
Because one of the big things now they're talking about, you don't need a second boost, you need a third boost. This is what's coming out right now. So they don't believe that it's as good as they think it is, or they're really wanting to make sure that what they pump into our arteries is going to be so, so detrimental to our well-being and our DNA and our health and our future, that you would think that their intent is actually the opposite to taking care of our health. I'm speaking with Janice Priest of JanicePriest.com. JanicePriest.com, and she's a chartered natural health practitioner here in Tauranga in New Zealand, and she's been in practice for 50 years.
Well, back in 2009 and 2010, the pharmaceutical industry lost their place as the top in economic industry in the world. So they're now dropping down the ladder of financial gain. And so they had to turn, they were running out of their standard trial drugs. There was nothing new on the horizon coming. The patents were coming off, so the a lot of other companies could produce the generic replicas. So they had to do something. And this is about their profit margin. This is their latest drug push, dating right back to when antibiotics were the big push. Now we're in this era. That's why you have got to stand back and look at what is really happening. So now they're using the, it's more economical to use the public for the clinical trials, and then using expensive laboratories. There's a lot of laboratories that have closed down around the world because now we can use clinical trials in the public. And of course they're going to produce more and more of them. This is not the end of it. This is just the beginning.
Yes, well, it's interesting. I happened to actually fly into China during SARS. When I went through the airport in Shanghai Airport, the officials had their masks on. I don't know if I actually had a mask on, but they pointed some sort of gun at our forehead and at our face, and they allowed us to go through. But we must remember that for the last maybe, 15-odd years, China has always had problems with swine flu and bird flu or fowl flu. They've got all sorts of things happening there solely because we're a country of 1.3 and a half billion people and a huge amount of pork and a huge amount of chickens, because they are two of the major meats that the Chinese eat, and the close proximity of all these animals to each other, and the fact that their systems may be a little bit lax in certain ways when it comes to hygiene. These diseases or whatever have popped out at various times over the last 20 years. All you have to do is look up, do a duckduckgo.com search for swine flu or bird flu or whatever in China, and you'll see that there's all sorts of things happening there, and this is just sort of an overflow, or it could be seen as an overflow of what came out of Wuhan.
Well, the controversial with China and the World Health Organization was the World Health Organization discovered, about 6-7 years ago, that the Chinese were using high antibiotic cancer drugs in the chicken feed, and drugs that we use for cancer patients instead of your normal stock feed antibiotics, because they found they weren't working. So the concentration of chicken farms, they decided to use a high-end cancer drug. And when it was discovered, by that time it was too late. The chickens had actually developed immunity to these drugs. So they had. This is where a lot of the viruses were emerging that they had no control over. So eventually, about 5 years ago, China banned the high-end cancer drugs in stock feed. But it's still being used, and it's being used in the States as well in stock feed, because animals are not meant to live in such high concentrations. In Denmark, families are not allowed to live 3 kilometres near chicken farms because of the risk of disease and viruses. Or should I just say viruses, yeah?
Yes, well, it's obviously our technocratic societies. It's all getting out of hand, and we've disconnected from the land. and disconnected from ordinary life where we were surrounded by trees and farmland, and as we get concentrated into cities more and more, and as you see the latest housing here in Auckland, the house basically fills the whole section, so there's no room for nature, and as people become more disconnected from nature and look out their window, all they see is a wall or a house jammed up to them. And so this has to come all the way back to us as a humanity recognizing that the earth gives us the physical means to be able to give us free air, free rainwater, and until recently a free food chain. And we've in many ways lost our way.
Well, it comes back to yourself. I mean, you can deal with environment in certain ways, but it still comes back to yourself and what you're eating. And so, therefore, if you're eating the hybrid foods and you're eating the fatty foods, you're eating incorrectly for your metabolism, then the whole environment will fail you. But if you are drinking the water and you're drinking herbal teas, if you're eating organic food, and you're not eating the meat that's full of antibiotics and whatever else are pumping into them, then you've got a far better chance of survival. You can always grow, even in a flat, you can always grow. And I noticed the young ones have become very keen on pot plants. You can always grow parsley. Parsley is a complete vegetable, and as far as minerals are concerned. And, of course, the supplement industry has taken off because people are increasing their nutritional uptake. And so we're living a lot longer. And if you've got a polluted environment, well, then rub some eucalyptus on your chest before you go out. So there are ways to combat wherever you have to live at life. It is always better to have fresh air, but this is why people get out on the weekends and go and enjoy some outdoor activity. Auckland exits on the weekends. You know, people just want that fresh air.
Most New Zealanders, particularly the older generation who were born here, right up until the, shall we say, mid-70s, they have this connection to the land, and we do. We do bail out of the cities all the time. We do love being by the beach, and we like to be able to catch fish. And once upon a time, there used to be shellfish everywhere, and that was always a wonderful sustainer too. And I guess it wanted to know a little bit about our inner glow. And the fact is, again, I do my a salute to the sun in the morning is to breathe in fresh air into my lungs and have this fresh air in my lungs then transfer to the alveoli and hemoglobin or oxyhemoglobin into my heart. And that's the big pumping station. That's the energy vortex for our whole body. And we've forgotten that too, that our heart is such an important component to our whole being. And to be able to express from the heart at the same time. Did you want to add to that?
Well, let's come back to basics. Get up in the morning, have a glass of water. If you feel a little bit sort of irritated in the throat, a little squeeze of lemon in the water. And then look at taking a natural food, you know, some natural yogurt, you know, maybe get back to the old-fashioned thing and just make some simple oat porridge. Bit of honey this time of the year is really good. And meditate, you know, just take that time to sit down at the table. One of the top things that I see is digestive orders, because people eat on the run.
Yes.
It's the worst thing you can do for your stomach. If you're going to eat, sit down, thank the food, let your digestive system go, oop, there's a meal coming, and then eat. So the next classic thing, of course, is people eat in front of television now. And, of course, when do they put the news on? They put it on at family meal time. And then there's all the stress factor and numbing that goes with there. Don't eat in front of television if you can avoid it. So, and because it's a time to talk to your family. It's a time to say, how's your day? How, you know, what happened during your day, which you miss if you sit down in front of television. So you're going to talk to your digestive system. And that's a biggie, because you don't chew properly, you don't eat properly, and you're eating on the run. So if you take care of those basics, then your body will take care of you. And certainly have the raw foods and the raw juices and so on as well. And, you know, end that day without so much radiation exposure. I'm seeing youngsters now, parents bringing in youngsters, and not necessarily youngsters either, those in their 20s.
And 30s.
that are suffering from radiation exposure. What happens is they're sitting on their bed, they've got their earphones on, they've got their transistor, their radios, their cell phone music on, they're on their computers, and they get lost in that world, which is fine, it's great, you can pick up a lot of information that way. And enjoyment, but 2 hours maximum. 2 hours, turn it all off, go outside, put your feet on the ground, let the earth's natural rays absorb into your body, go and have a glass of water, do a bit of exercise, do a bit of meditation, then you can go back to it. What's happening is these youngsters, not necessarily youngsters, they're youngsters to me, but they're on their beds and they've craned their necks down on their chin, looking at their computer screens, and they're blacking out because there's a certain level of radiation. When you jam up your neck and the blood flow to your brain, your brain will just switch off. So the doctors are treating it as epilepsy, but it's not epilepsy. It's actually simply too much radiation exposure and too much cramming of the cranial. So now the cranial osteopaths are really, really busy now trying to help these youngsters. All these ones that are dedicated to their computers and their beds at home. Yep. And again, that's another modern environmental issue, and a lot of it's just common sense.
Yes, well, as you know, I had an interview last week. What the statement came through was screen time. They talked about there's too much screen time, and since particularly the 21st century, for the last 20 years, we've been on the screens all the time, and he questioned subliminal messages coming through because there's so many different screens. I mean, there's so many different TV programs. The government have not got time to be able to check every program to see that there's no subliminal message embedded in the picture or whatever or in the sound. And so we are at the mercy of a barrage of picture and sound, and then at titillation and the macabre and all these sorts of things that suck people in more and more. And that's a huge issue when it comes down to once upon a time we used to have community standards. Well, they've slid all over the place to the degree that we don't care about lyrics anymore, really. And I remember back in about 1996, Tipper Gore, Al Gore's wife, she in America had listened to all the punk music, or not the punk music, the a lot of the other different types of music that was coming, or wasn't music, was just sound and horrible lyrics, and really horrible. And she was laughed off the stage in America. They said, oh, no, forget about that. You can't actually stop people. We've got freedom. But she was stopping it for children. She didn't want these children to learn of all these vulgar words, etc. And yet, here we are today, we're in this barrage of obscenity and God knows what else. No wonder children have lost their moral compass. No wonder they don't know what to do, because everything's been blurred. The sacred has become profane. The sacred has been distorted to such a degree it's just noise now, and the waters have become muddied.
Well, we certainly live in a very stimulating world right now.
Yes.
And it is, you know, pretty hard for families to ignore all of it. So it comes back to spending time with family. But if there's one area that I can sort of encourage people, what happens is too much screen time affects the pituitary gland. And the pituitary gland affects growth. So you will therefore have problems with growth in the body, whether it's the growth of organs or the other growth of your physical structure. And it changes you into more of a lethargic person. So give your family a certain time. They've got to live in this real world, and then go, that's it. Get away from it. Have a meal around the table. Get the homework out, get the games out, because the schools are now all promoting computers for them to do their homework on. But there are people out there that can't afford the computers. I mean, this is all of this high tech is very expensive. So trying to bring up a family in this high-tech world is very, very challenging. It's hard when the kids come home and they say they can't. The school says they need a computer. Well, it should all be subsidized for them, but it should remain at the school so that they can come home and play as kids.
Yes, that's right.
And also the parents' budgets can benefit from not having to outlay their expense. And no wonder families are going broke, because it's not going to food for the kids. It's going into technology. It's going into the TV. It's going into the internet and so on, because you can bring your family up on a low budget. I lost my husband when my children were small. I bought them all up. I didn't go for help or benefits or anything. I just grew my own food, worked part-time, but it was always there when they came home at 3 o'clock.
Yes.
So it's a matter of you can live on this budget, but you have to ignore all of these extra expenses that are influencing families.
Yes, because you also offered up boundaries. So many children don't have boundaries, particularly if a child has been brought up in a one-parent home. And I know, having worked in Parimarimo Maximum Security Prison, where when you compare the prison population, the males take up 90% of our New Zealand prisons, whereas the females only take up 10% of our prisons. And these children, in many ways, haven't got a father to be there to be able to offer them or to help them and to guide them and mentor them, because we in New Zealand have this major, major problem with men breaking the law all the time.
Well, though, there is an element to it, because a good 35% of all those that are in prison are just in there because of marijuana, and that could be easily solved.
Yes.
And it's been ridiculous how just having a certain amount of marijuana, which is a herb for specific purposes, but they're in jail just for that. I wrote it all about it in my book called The Ocean of Drugs, and this whole issue of the influence of fighting the drug war, as they called it. And fighting the drug war simply meant just putting all these men in jail.
Yeah.
And it's costly for everybody, not just the children, but to the government, to the future and so on.
Yes, $110,000 a year for each inmate. Totally crazy. So in finalising this wonderful interview, the most important thing is, as far as I'm concerned, see, because I see things from a, should we say, spiritual perspective, and you do too, Janice, is that our temple, or our body temple, has to be treated with the respect it deserves, and we have to acknowledge the magnificence of our body, the makeup of it, the amount of blood pumped through in the course of a day, the amount of air we breathe, the amount of water it goes through in our lifetime. I mean, we live in such a magnificent vehicle, and yet we're treating it as if it's, I don't know, just a walking desire body. We're consumers consuming the future. We're walking desire bodies just consuming everything.
We just have to walk this earth and be grateful for what we have around us. We have all of the herbs and the food that we need to keep a healthy mind and body and soul. If you're out there in nature and saying thank you, if you have the food that you're preparing, you say thank you. It's that holistic, that mind, body, spirit approach to your wellness, that happiness that comes from that simple approach to life. And sure, we always want to attain, you know, higher standards and better housing and so on. But, you know, if you come back to the simplicity of life and the simplicity of nature, and just do the homework as to what you can take and eat to actually absorb this into your body naturally, then the rewards are numerous, because the wellness factor is invaluable. It's your longevity investment. You know, I'm in my mid-70s. I don't have an ache in my body. I still work long hours. I still garden. I still grow my own food. I still do all of the things that I could do in my 30s. And perhaps I'm a bit wiser, but it's all more about the longevity. You know, what do you want to see when you're my age? Do you want to have the cancers? Do you want to have the diseases and so on that come with not living naturally as best as you can?
Thank you.
It's your choice.
Yes, thank you. It's to be conscious all the time and realise that we have to eat that which has life force.
Yes.
And we're out of time, unfortunately. So I would like to say thank you, Janice, for wanting to assist all New Zealanders and people overseas and making sure that we live a healthy, fulfilled and loving life.
Well, thank you, Tim, for the opportunity to share.
Excellent.
Blessings to all. Excellent. Okay.
Bye-bye.
Look then. Bye.
Bye. That was Janice Priest of janicepriest.com. Janice, P-R-I-E-S-T.com. Here in New Zealand. Dear people, I'm wanting to ad lib because I still have a little bit of time. I did the edit and take out the ums and ahs and you knows and guffaws and all those sorts of things to make sure that it's a good quality, clean, understandable interview. And anyway, we still have big challenges on our magnificent home planet. And what we need to do is look at things from an overview. And one of the big ones, of course, is the World Economic Forum, the Great Reset from Klaus Schwab. And what they're wanting to do is overlay a whole new economic system, an enforced digital and cashless society. And you'll be happy that they say is all going to take care of the environment, which means putting in place Agenda 21 and Agenda 2030. And what's happening is they are doing it from the top of the pyramid. And you and I, we are living at the base of this pyramid. This is where good community and grassroots exist. This is where localization, this is where we do our organic gardening, we do permaculture, we go to farmers markets, we're involved in holistic healing, we share and we cooperate and we do things together, dances of universal peace, we sing as well. We are involved in homeschooling, we do new ways of localized banking, green dollars, time banks, savings pools, and working with currencies or alternative currencies at a local level. It's by connecting at our neighbourhood level as well as our local community. The majority, the 99.9% of the population are us, are the ones that we have to take care of, especially for children of today and tomorrow. That's right, and the 7.8 billion of us sharing breath as of this moment. Note that we have been frozen out by the World Economic Forum, as well as Agenda 21 and Agenda 2030. We have no say in this. Note this is an undemocratic power grab. I ask of you to focus on what I wish to share. Decide to network. Use every letter you write, every conversation you have, every meeting you attend, every email you send, and remember, even Facebook, to tweet and to express your fundamental beliefs and dreams. Affirm to others the vision of the world you want. Network through thought. Network through action. Network through love. Network through the spirit. You are the center of a network. You are the center of the world. You are a free, immensely powerful source of life and goodness. Affirm it, spread it, radiate it. Think day and night about it, and you will see a miracle happen. The greatness of your own life in a world of big powers, media and monopolies, but of 7.8 billion individuals, networking is the new freedom, the new democracy, a new transparency, and a new form of wholeness and happiness. This originated by Dr. Robert Muller, Chancellor of the World Peace University in Costa Rica, Central America. I invite you to be able to come to greenplanetfm.com, where we have over 500 interviews in our database, which you can readily download and listen to. to be able to inspire yourself to become the change you want to see in the world. And become involved in caring for your children and grandchildren's future. We are also on Facebook, on Green Planet FM and ourplanet.org. Please come and love us. This is Tim Lynch in the spirit of Aroha. Wishing you a wonderful week. We look forward.